Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com podcast. This conference call is being recorded and will be published as podcast number 44. Today is August the 21st, 2008. Thank you for joining us. My name is Henry Will, PMP, and I am the founder and leader of this group. We actually have three calls per month at this point. Our first call on the first Thursday every month right now is the call that we have. That's for PMP exam study group. That is for people studying for the PMP. If you are studying or know somebody that is, you may want to join our Yahoo group, and you'll get information about our calls. And then also, you might want to visit our website and look at the links to the archives of past calls so that you can study up on the topics we've presented. The second Thursday every month is our PM Job Shop call, where we talk about project management jobs. We get people in contact with project management recruiters. And we also cover some networking between project managers so that they can help each other out. And then there's this call on the third Thursday every month, our PM Best Practices call, which started it all more than 2 years ago now. Now we have more than 1,000 members, and we have members from around the world. So please join our Yahoo group for relative project management information that deals with your career and also to get reminders of our conference calls. So you can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, and you can pick them up on our archive that's listed on our site. For tonight's topic, we have with us John Lingua. John is a certified project manager with IBM, and John is going to be speaking to us on the topic of, are you a 98-pound weakling? Study up on your soft skills. John, you also have a link to our presentation that's available. And if you look on our website and look for this entry on the website, which at the current time is at the top, but later on, if you're somebody listening to this podcast, you'll see a link for podcast number 44. But that link is there for the presentation, and it's on the web. It's available to you to watch while you're listening in if you'd like to. John, thank you very much for volunteering to be with us tonight. I really appreciate you sharing this presentation. I've heard it before, and I thought everybody in our group would really like to hear this. So thank you for your time and for your give back to project management.
You're welcome, Henry. Again, my name is John Lingua, and I feel compelled to say up front that I am not the half-naked guy on that title page of the slideshare presentation that accompanies this call. That's not me in the photo. It's just a standard eye stock. Now, if you're following along using that slideshare deck, I should tell you that I won't be announcing every page change. I think it would be disruptive to the flow of this call, and you really don't need the slides anyway. It should be pretty easy to follow along. So you're welcome to stop me and ask questions. If you do, could you please state your first name? I'd just much rather respond to a person with a name. And we'll be ending on time, so at about 5 minutes till the hour, I expect, Henry, you or someone to give me the remind, and we'll have the hard stop. So I could be in the middle of a sentence, and if the timekeeper buzzes in, I'll stop right there. I can always come back later to continue the discussion if it gets too heated.
Okay, I'll do that for you, John. And another thing, too, is John has also provided us with a special offer. You'll see that listed on the website as well. I'm sure John will talk about that more towards the end of the call.
Okay, you can review my credentials out on the website, projecteasy.com. Project E as in elephant, Z as in zebra, two letters, .com. I've been a certified project executive at IBM for well over a decade. I earned my PMP in the 90s. I'm a Stanford certified project manager, and I sit on IBM's Center of Excellence Board. We determine the requirements for certification inside of IBM. my teams, just to give you a little background, deliver complex hardware, complex software, and solution projects. I have a kind of a mix of all of them in my background. And the project budgets ranged in funding from $1 million to well over $100 million. Now, my specialty is trouble projects. And when I look under the covers of a trouble project, I usually find a dysfunctional team. And if you look one step deeper than that, you usually find a pattern of bad behaviors. Or if you don't like the term bad behaviors, you can call it self-oriented behaviors. So let's make those connections very explicit. Trouble project, dysfunctional team, bad behaviors. And tonight I'm going to show you how to redirect bad behaviors. And you don't do that with hard skills. Now, you need to apply some soft skill muscle to the situation. So during the session, we're going to flex our soft skill muscle and take a kind of critical look in the mirror. And I think most of us will agree that our soft skill muscle is a bit flabby or underdeveloped. Most people lack soft skill muscle. And we'll talk about the reasons for that. And we'll explore an unconventional definition of soft skill, one that you won't find in the PM box. It centers on the idea that it's very natural for you to defend your core values. It's almost organic. It's kind of a natural response. And as soon as you accept that, you'll find that it's very, very easy to exercise your soft skills. So let's begin with the self-assessment. And actually, since we're not in a room, I wish we were face-to-face. I'll just make the claim. You lack soft skills. Now, that might sound a bit presumptuous on my part. I don't even know you, and you don't know me. I lack soft skills myself. I'm pretty weak there. I lean naturally towards hard skills. But I do know that all of us, you know, have underdeveloped soft skills. That's an area that we can improve. But it's not our fault. You see, we've been misled. We've been told that our job is to create something. If I were to ask Jerry or Sky or Kakea, I think that's how you pronounce your name, on the line who have already joined, what is it that you do? Eventually, you're going to start talking about a chunk of program code or a hardware widget or a solution that puts two things together, something you can touch. And that's not true. That's not what you do. If you're a project manager, then your job is to lead a team. In fact, your job is to develop the team that delivers the thing. So while we tend to focus on the thing that we're working on, the project, just shift gears and think about developing the team. Some of the worst PMs that I've ever met, and I've been doing this now for 10 years and certifying PMs in IBM. We do interviews. Some of the worst are the technical gearheads that jump right in and spend all of their time doing the work. And I'm a gearhead, so I can call people that. But that's often a mistake. Some of the sophisticated PMs at the top of their game spend quantity time developing their teams. And I didn't say quality time. Sometimes I think people use quality time, for example, with parenting as an excuse, or even with their teams, quality time is an excuse. Quantity time is the key. So let me ask, how much time do you actually spend developing your team? Now think about that number. You know, this week, how many minutes did you spend developing your team? And if you have a sheet of paper on your desk, just write it down. Don't worry, I can't see it. And I'm not talking about buying donuts for a meeting. I spent 30 minutes driving to Krispy Kreme to get donuts to bring to a meeting. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about promoting and teaching good behaviors. How much time did you spend counseling people who exhibit dysfunctional behaviors? How much time do you spend rewarding people who exhibit positive behaviors? So that's a certain number of minutes every week. You know, write down the number. Then look at that number, and I can predict with a high degree of certainty that you deserve the team you've got. If you got a high number, you probably have a fairly well-functioning team, or it's moving that direction, and you deserve that team. And if you have a low number, then you deserve the team you've got. So let's recap this one point. One reason that our soft skill muscle is underdeveloped is that we get so busy working on things that we forget to work on the team that delivers that thing. Now, here's a few more reasons that our soft skill muscle tends to be flaccid. I love that word. It just means soft, mushy, and weak. 9 out of 10 classes that I take or see, even in IBM, and we have a great education facility, emphasize hard skills. Every once in a while, you'll get a leadership class thrown in almost as an afterthought. And every time I'm sitting in those leadership classes, I usually leave with the idea, and this could be wrong, it could be a myth, but I kind of leave with the idea that you're born a leader. Yeah, I always feel a little bit uncomfortable. They give me a few tips and techniques on leadership, and I remember them. I think they sound great in the class, but I don't practice them when I leave. I don't know. It just seems that leadership is kind of natural. I'm not suggesting that I'm a leader, and that's the point. I feel very uncomfortable sometimes in those classes in how they approach leadership. Now, some people think the same thing about soft skills. You're either born with them or not, and that's a myth. Don't believe it. Soft skills can be learned, and that's why you joined the call tonight, right? You're trying to develop your soft skills. I think another reason that soft skills tend to be underdeveloped is that performance appraisals, and this may not be true in your company, but it is in mine, performance appraisals at the end of the year tend to emphasize results, not teaming, results. And immature PMs fail to appreciate that successful teaming will improve those results. And finally, and this is a personal for me, exercising soft skills makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable. It's so easy to discuss tasks and deliverables. You know, they're on time or they're late. They're complete or they're incomplete. Right? It's difficult to counsel someone about a bad behavior. Right? They can make us feel uncomfortable. So I'm spending a lot of time here exposing the fact that we have weak soft skill muscle, because admitting that we have the problem is the first step to recovery. I learned a lot about muscle development from my brother Joe. He played competitive tennis down in South Florida, and his right arm was massive. In fact, in the family, we nicknamed his right arm Popeye, and we used to call his left arm Olive Oil. And for those of you familiar with the cartoon, you'll know exactly why. The guy was a freak. His right arm was just busting with muscle in veins. And his left arm, I mean, he almost leaned to the right side. And you know why, because he used his right arm. He was a right-arm tennis player. And I think figuratively, if you look at a lot of project managers, if hard skills are your right arm and soft skills are your left arm, a lot of people probably look like my brother Joe. So it just occurred to me that I've been talking about soft skills, but I haven't really told you what they are. So I'm going to open the line for a moment and ask this question, and I hope you don't mind, Jerry. I'm going to ask you this question. Don't think about the answer. Don't even think about PM Bach. Just what are soft skills? What do you think they are? I'll have the star six to come off. Sky, you're welcome to join in as well.
Sure.
Soft skills are your communication skills, whether you're speaking or writing.
Very good. Yeah, I like the fact that you added writing, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So it's negotiating, it's communicating, it's compromising, it's facilitating. That's what you'll read about in the textbooks. My unorthodox definition of soft skills is going to turn that around, and it's going to focus on the word defending. Because defending is something that you do naturally. If someone throws a ball at your face, you either duck or you catch it. It's kind of a spontaneous and unconscious action. So here's my unorthodox definition of a soft skill. You'll get it wrong on PM Bach if you follow this. Soft skills are the ability to defend your core principles without the other guy getting too mad. Now, I didn't say the guy wasn't going to get a little bit mad. Sometimes when you would practice these soft skills, there's a little bit of tension in the air, and you're going to have to learn to live with that. But when you get really good at this game, then you can motivate a person to change his behavior without taking offense. Soft skills aren't about beating the team into submission, even if you look good doing it. It's not about winning arguments. It's all about expressing your personal core values and then defending them with consistency. And I can tell you the end result here. If you do this, if you defend your core values and you defend them with consistency, people will respect you. So what are your core values? Now, I'm not talking about your religious leanings. I'm not talking about your economic leanings. Do you prefer Keynesian economics versus Milton Friedman? We're not talking about political leanings, Republican, Democrat. We're talking about teaming. Core values. What does an ideal team look and act like? Now, how would you describe the ideal team? And again, open the line. Anyone can answer. How would you describe the ideal team? Can you give me just one behavior, you know, that would be exhibited by a high-performance team?
People trust each other.
Oh, beautiful. Trust. Any others?
The ability to share any ideas without feeling repercussions.
Oh, tell the open and honest truth. Yeah, very good. Those are good behaviors. Now, you're going to see them on my detail list, both of those. And trust is one of my top ones. Let your yes mean yes, your no mean no. No, that's the definition of trust for me. So if you make a commitment, just keep it. And talk openly and honestly about problems and risks. We're going to use those in a bit. So those are good. Those are good core values. That's what you expect from your team. Now, if you were to collect all these core values together, and we could brainstorm the list and we'd come out with about 20, we'd have something I call your PM philosophy. And did you know that you have a PM philosophy? Sure you do. Your wife knows it. Your husband knows it. Your friends know it. They're the ones who ask, how was work today? And you let them know very clearly who walked all over your core values during the day. I mean, we kind of naturally gravitate to that. So here's one of my core values. I'll just put it on the table. You've already hit on two of them. We share the same core values in both those cases, trust and open communication. So here's another one of mine. I feel comfortable using directionally correct data to make decisions. And what that means is you don't need to run the 10th iteration of a sizing if it doesn't add value. If the first iteration gives you enough information to make a directionally correct decision, use it. So that's one of my core values for teaming. And here's another one. I expect my team members to be the single point of contact for their entire function. So if you're my procurement team member, I expect you to represent all of procurement, and same with manufacturing and marketing. Now, during the forming stages of a new team, some poor team member is going to try to pass me on to someone else. I'll ask a question, and that person will respond, oh, you need to go talk to Bill down the hall, someone in his function. And here at IBM, when people start passing you on, I call it ring around the rosy. Because if you're familiar with that child's rhyme, eventually everyone dies. You just keep going around and around and around, and you can do that forever here in IBM. We have hundreds of thousands of employees. So if you're on the team, I expect you to represent your function, be the single point of contact. That's one of my core values. And I'll give you just one more. My team members are empowered to talk directly with other team members. Does that sound reasonable? You know, some team members always going to ask me, they say, hey, John, schedule a meeting between Bill and Sue, or you need to schedule this meeting. And I always say, are you kidding? I mean, do I look like your admin assistant? Why can't you schedule the meeting? Or better yet, just if it's two people, just get up and talk to that person. So we're talking about core values. Now, sometimes we have these conversations with people But more often than not, when we're just starting out in the project management world, we carry the luggage back home with us, and then we unload and dump on whoever our closest friend is, be it a wife, a husband, or a friend. So a couple of observations about core values in my list. It's really not open to negotiation. I'm not asking anyone to agree with it. I'm just telling them, this is the way I feel, this is the way my brain is wired. And I usually say, I'm doing it for your benefit, that way you're not shocked when you see what's about to come. So if you walk on my core values, I'm going to call a violation, and I don't want you to be shocked. Now, it took me about 10 years to create the list. And the SlideShare has a partial list. It's not that long. Really, it isn't. You know, it fits on a page. It's my PM philosophy. And I found that it changes very little over time. I join new teams. I meet new people. But that core list is pretty stable. And now here's an interesting tidbit. I always ask my team members, I always show them the list, and I say, what do you think? And it turns out that they usually share the same core values, just like you shared with me, Jerry and Sky, trust and open and honest, same list. We share it, which is interesting because I see violations to the list every week. So let's stop here for a moment and just register. We all have a PM philosophy about how high-performance teams should run. Does your team know what your philosophy is? And if not, why not share it with them? Now, you can't get into my team room, and you may not use team rooms in other companies. You might just consider it your IPF, your integrated project file. If you have it online, you can't get into mine, my IPF, without seeing my personal PM philosophy. It's there, so there's no excuse. And also, I talk about it with people whenever they join the team. Right, I have that conversation. This is the way my brain's wired. Just want to let you know. Because once I let them know the way my brain is wired, now I feel very comfortable exercising my soft skills. And remember my definition, it's defending your core values without the other guy getting too mad. See, I wouldn't feel comfortable if they didn't know. Some people really don't know. You know, when you talk about open and honest communication, some people might say, well, you know, I thought I could solve the problem before it became a big issue, right? Or I've always worked in a place where you don't surface, you know, some bad information. You just don't surface that to management. So they may not know. You need to tell them up front. This is the way you're wired. And then you have a foundation to exercise your soft skills. So let's talk about defending your core values. And I'll tell you who's really, really good at defending her core values. Just to give you an example, it's Fluffy the cat. On page 19 of the SlideShare deck, you'll see a cute picture of a puppy kissing Fluffy. But what you don't see is what happened next, right? Fluffy tried to swat that poor puppy, right? Because you can't kiss a cat without asking permission. Sure, Fluffy is soft and precious. She purrs. People love Fluffy, but you don't mess with cats. People love them, but you don't mess with them because they have very, very clear lines, boundaries, if you will. They're the masters of their domain, and they let you know exactly how they feel and when you've crossed that line. So I think for PM, sometimes we need to be a little bit like Fluffy the cat. You can still be cute, but you have boundaries. Let people know what they are. And if they cross that boundary, call it. Now, when someone does something you don't like, and really it's a bad behavior by your own definition of your core values, let them know it. Now, I'm not saying you should scratch their eyes out like a cat. You know, for legal reasons, you can't do that. But what I am telling you, that you can very clearly let them know they've crossed the line. And I'll give you an example of that. I had a person in the team who cursed, and that didn't show respect for other people, and really didn't show respect for me. I'm okay with people being passionate about a topic. You can scream, you can holler, just keep the words clean. And this guy would curse during the meeting. So I called him afterwards and just said, you were cursing during the meeting, stop it. And that was it. Any kind that laughed and left. And next week we had our standing meeting and he cursed. So I called him afterwards and said, you cursed during the meeting. Stop it. And the next week, do you know what he did in the meeting? He cursed. So I called him in and I said, you're not invited to the meeting. You can't come to any more meetings. What I want you to do is talk to your manager and ask your manager to sit in on the meetings until he or she finds a replacement. Now, in IBM, we're a big company, so you can play that game. You might not be able to in your world. But you know what he did? He said, don't do that. Just don't do that. He said, I will stop. And for the first time, I could tell he was serious about it. The previous two times, he wasn't. So sometimes you have to be persistent. You know, these wind-up toys that we had when I was a kid, a little monkey with cymbals would clang, and it was mesmerizing for about 2 minutes. But after about 5 minutes, you just wanted to turn it off. Well, as a project manager, you're going to have to be persistent. Call out the bad behaviors each and every time and escalate your response depending on your core values and how much they're being stressed. But when you do that, eventually they'll want to turn you off, and they'll either change their behavior. Now, they may act differently when they go to another meeting, but in your meeting, they'll abide by your core values, especially if your core values are reasonable. So don't let bad behaviors, self-oriented behaviors, become institutionalized. So I talked about this discussion. It was real short. It was as short as I just described it to you, two sentences with a person directly. Didn't want to do it in public. But what if you have pattern problems now? You know, there's several people on your team stomping on your core values. For example, one of my core values is don't waste my time. That's a pretty reasonable core value. Well, when I join a new team, especially with all the ways people can now contact you, instant messaging, email. I remember the very first email, you know, on green phosphorus screens, and it was all ASCII text, you know, and you were actually excited to get it. Now you get 200, 300 emails a day. Well, one of the reasons I get blizzards of emails is when someone starts the reply all avalanche. You press reply all. And I really don't need to be on copy for reply all. So what I'll usually tell the team when that becomes a pattern problem, it's across several people, I'll add that to an agenda item called team tune-up. And that's a standing agenda item. So it's always there. Sometimes there's something in the bucket, sometimes there's not. But when I get the avalanche, I'll add that team tune-up. It just says, do not press reply all unless Sam Palmisano's on distribution. And people will stop. You know, sometimes that'll have to come back, like in a month or two, it'll start up again, and I'll put it back. So if there's pattern problems, and believe it or not, I have a whole list of pattern problems, and they're always the same. No matter what team I'm on, I have a whole list of pattern problems. I just drop them into my team tune-up. And again, I do this consistently, right? When you do it regularly, people expect it. And in fact, they respect it because they understand what you're trying to do, and sometimes they're just forgetful. So let me open the line now and ask if there's a pattern problem. Do you have any pattern problems on your teams? Could you describe one? Guy, Jerry?
Complaining about other teams not getting the job done. For example, if the quality assurance team isn't getting the meeting their deliverables.
Oh, very good. Very good. I have that one too. Are you an IBM?
No.
Okay. If it's any solace, you know, it's all the same. Core values are the same. Problems are the same. So this is what you describe, complaining about other teams. And by the way, what do people typically do when they complain? Who do they usually complain to? So in your area, when they start complaining, who are they complaining to?
They complain to me about other people.
Of course. Of course. It's for the same reason I described earlier, that soft skill tends to be underdeveloped. Talking to a person face-to-face makes people feel uncomfortable, but the truth is, and you and I know this, that the way you get things resolved is face-to-face, not indirectly. And by the way, a lot of people do that when they walk out of a team meeting. You know, they might complain about someone on the team who dominated the discussion and threw you off track, but they'll never say it directly to the person. If they get irritated enough, they might come to you, the leader, the project manager, and say, you need to do something about this. And frankly, sometimes we have to step up to bat and do something about this. That's what we need to do. Okay, but that's a good pattern problem, complaining about other teams. Think of a way you could drop that in to the team tune-up section, you know, of your meeting. Think of a way that you could do that and not make people too angry. Because you'll acknowledge and empathize with them that is a problem. How can we fix it? You know, because if all we do is keep coming here and complaining to each other and not to the people who are the problem, or trying to resolve it with the people, you know, not complain to them, but just resolve it directly, we're never going to get anywhere. I think they'd accept that. So, back to the memory jogger, what's the definition of soft skills? My definition, the ability to defend your core principles without the other guy getting mad. And I think this is one way you can do it, with a standing agenda item called team tune-up. Remember, don't permit bad behaviors to become institutionalized on your watch. And that's the problem. If you don't call it, it'll keep happening. So if you don't call out this complaining problem, it's just going to keep, they're going to keep complaining. Now you got to find a way out of that vicious circle. And give you another example. In IBM, meetings chronically start 5 minutes late. It's institutionalized in IBM that meetings start 5 minutes late. So at the beginning of the call, I said I was going to end on time, and in fact, I'll probably try to end 5 minutes early. Now, in my standing meetings, I always end 5 minutes early. I do, and I can be in the middle of a sentence, you know, at 5 minutes till the end of the hour, someone reminds me, and we stop dead there. I don't even finish the sentence. It's done. Now, why do you think I stopped my meeting 5 minutes early? What reason would I have for doing that?
Well, in case there's any last-minute questions, as well as letting people know that you respect their time.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, there's things I can do to defend my core values, but there's also things I can do to promote them. I want them to be able to get a drink and go to the bathroom before their next meeting. So I'm going to give them, that's it, I respect their time. I respect them enough to let them have a bio break. Now, in other companies, it may not be as much of a problem, this meeting mania, but in IBM, it's not uncommon for me to have my entire day blocked off with meetings, and everybody finishes 1 minute late, right? So there's no time for me to even stretch. So again, be good about defending your core values, but also promote them. And that's a way you can do that. I respect your time, right? Don't waste my time. I won't waste your time. The more you talk about your pet peeves, whatever they are, and the more you defend your core values, the easier it'll get. I have a list on page 23 of the SlideShare of just a couple of my pet peeves. I'm just sharing them with you. The top one says, stop attacking me with your instant message Tommy gun. You might have AIM. We use Lotus same time. And it's not uncommon for people to write a very short, crisp sentence, hello, and then hit enter and ping me. You heard Henry say he was going to ping me earlier today. After a hello, I usually write back, do you have a question? And they'll start their question, but they'll usually break it into four lines. That's four pings, and it sounds something like this, ping, 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 ping. and it's like they're shooting me with a machine gun. So I tell them to stop it. Don't do that. And usually I'll tell them something they do not know. Did you know on same time that you can press shift plus enter between lines, and that's a soft break? So go ahead and write your choppy sentence if that's what you want. Hit shift enter, write a next sentence, hit shift enter, write the next sentence, and when you're ready to send the thing, press the enter key and off it'll go. Now I'm guessing that AIM and other instant messaging functions or programs, applications have that same feature. It's called a soft break. Again, they usually don't know it's there. But after a couple of sorties this way, you know, the number of pings I get during the day is reduced dramatically, and pings are interruptions, right? I want to reduce interruptions in my day. And they usually propagate that idea out to other people. Did you know that you can do a soft enter with instant messaging? So talk openly about your pet peeves. And the reason why I've included also this idea, don't press the urgent key, don't press reply all, don't press CC. Really, I'm saying think about it before you do. You know, think about it. Can it be handled by a call? Can it be handled by face-to-face? Always think that way first before you send the mail. Because I think in today's world, even today on this conference call, I can't see your faces, we're just so used to working virtually and behind a screen that sometimes we forget the old-fashioned way, which might be a better way to handle things. When you talk openly about your pet peeves, you'll be surprised how many other people share your frustration and will be receptive to change. You'll be surprised. Now let's shift gears and talk about giving counsel to team members. Counsel is a good thing. It's a good thing for you, good thing for your team members. First, you have to know the difference between a good and a bad behavior. So as an exercise, write down good behaviors and bad behaviors on a sheet of paper. And you really need to do that. If you have a hard time even thinking, you know, how to go about this, then think of a person on your team that you like. There's a reason you like that person. What is it? And when you write that down, that's a good behavior. And then there's probably someone on your team that makes you crabby. He or she does something you don't like. What is it? That's a bad behavior. Well, I started creating this list of good and bad behaviors about 10 years ago. And I'll give you just one example of a bad behavior. And it actually ties directly to the comment you made earlier. I had a team member who was hesitant to tell bad news. He was always just keeping risks under the cover. Had all kinds of excuses for it. You know, I didn't think it would blow up. I thought I could handle it. It was an unknown unknown. But for this particular person, it was a pattern. Right, it wasn't a one-off where you could say, okay, I got it, unknown, unknown. It was a pattern problem. So that's a bad behavior. Now, I have a list. You'll see a short list of out there on the web of some good and bad behaviors. You can read my full list. It's in my book, Project Rec. There's a chapter called Providing Behavioral Feedback. And it's the page you should copy and put on your wall or you make your own, because all you have to do to give counsel is circle a behavior when you see it. That's all you have to do. So here's how easy it is to give useful counsel, you know, using this approach. I meet with a team member and I say, I appreciate that you're the single point of contact for your extended function. You never pass me around. Thank you. That's it. I appreciate that you resolve problems outside of our meeting. Thank you. So remember, the focus is on behaviors. Useful counsel focuses on behaviors, and it can be just two simple sentences and tag on a thank you at the end. Short, direct, simple. And I think it needs to be that way, otherwise you won't do it. If you have to spend all kinds of time thinking about it, you probably won't do it. Or you certainly won't do it often. But counseling, this idea of defending your core values, I want you to think of it more as a reflexive maneuver. It's something you just kind of do organically. And the way you can get to that point is just make it very, very simple. When you see a good behavior, notice it, call it out. When you see a bad behavior, call it out every time. I recommend also that you schedule an hour during the week for giving counsel. You know, make it a regular routine. And so I block off my schedule time on Friday. I call it Think Friday. And I use it. I make a call, or I write a note, or I talk to a person face-to-face. That's what I do. And if you look hard enough, you're going to find a good behavior on your team every week. It's there. You just got to look for it. And I'm suggesting that you do look for it and you call it out, a good behavior. So block off the time and use it to exercise your soft skills. We've talked a lot about redirecting bad behaviors, but don't forget to teach positive ones. So I recommend when we talk about teaching positive behaviors that you tie recognition and awards to behaviors and not results. And that's a little bit against the pattern I see inside of my company. We tend to hand out awards at the end of a project, right, on results, based on results. And I tell you that it's much more productive to recognize behaviors all during the project journey, not at the end, but during the journey. And you don't need to wait for results. When you see a positive behavior, and once you get used to this, it's very easy to do, you can recognize it any day. And I think you get more bang out of that, right? When you're promoting team development, especially in the beginning, you could be 2 days into your project. I guarantee if you look hard enough, you'll find a positive behavior that you can recognize. And you'll get the benefits of that all through the project. Other people will see what a positive behavior is, for example, if you make it public. So when your team's high performance, my thinking is that you'll get the milestones, you'll get the results, you'll deliver your plan very, very naturally. Do make it public, right? Make it a spectacle, especially when you're recognizing a positive behavior. So I've given you an example out on SlideShare. You can go out to my blog. But originally, this blog entry was directed at a person on my team, Chuck, and it was inside of IBM's firewall. We have our own blogging inside of IBM, Blog Central. And then it occurred to me, I need to post that out in a public blog. And the reason why I wanted to do that was so that he could go home and say to his wife or say to his mother, hey, Mom, take a look at this. And they could read what you can read about Chucky. So do think about how when you recognize behaviors, if you want to make it public, if you want to use it as a teaching moment for the rest of your team, do it inside. If it's a positive behavior, make it external as well. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, blogs are free. So let's recap some of the key points we've covered tonight. I recommended that you jot down your PM philosophy. Now, you have a PM philosophy. You have an ideal for how your team should behave. Does your team know it? So once you jot it down and you get your head around it, communicate it. And then draft a list of good and bad behaviors. Because then you can just you'll instantly recognize good behaviors and bad behaviors. You'll get good at it, good enough where you don't even need to list anymore. But while you have the crutch, you can just circle it and just call it out. Show your list to the team, not just your PM philosophy, but I let them see my list of good and bad behaviors. Nothing wrong with that. Develop a routine. Make it a set time to give counsel. So most of you are in the U.S. I assume everyone on the line tonight is on the U.S. Tomorrow, you know, pick out a guy on your team that's just driving you nuts and give him or her counsel tomorrow. Do it. Don't put it off. Just do it. Three sentences. Find the best person on your team or someone who's exhibiting positive behaviors and call it out tomorrow. Don't put it off. because it's going to be up to you to develop your team. Now, if you're a project manager or not a project manager, you can argue, and I would, that everyone on the team can play this game, and everyone should, right? They have the right, and they have their own core. Every person has their own core values, and they have a right to defend them. And not only that, they have a right to call me out when I'm walking, trampling all over their core values. I do that too, right? Nobody's perfect. So clearly everyone can do this. But I'd say for project managers, leaders, people in that position of oversight, I think there's more responsibility on us to promote good behaviors and to redirect self-oriented behaviors. So I'd like to pause for a moment here and ask you just to think to yourself, is there anything from this session that is important to you? Something you might share with people tomorrow. Hey, I heard this last night. Just think about it. And I'm going to let the ticker go silent here for a bit. Okay, if you had learned something that was important to share, share it. You know, write it down. You know, if you fall asleep, you might forget it. Write it down and go ahead and share it. Pass it on. That's the way you get this behavioral modification to go out on its own. Just pass it on. And there's reasons why I think you want to do this. There's reasons why I do it. Because I sleep better at night. If I just sit silent and someone takes over my meeting, they're a dominator, and they take over my meeting and they pull the agenda any which way they want, you know the problem, and I just sit there silently, I do not sleep good at night. I need to step up and take control. There's a whole lot more tips sitting out on my website. They're free, projecteasy.com, about how to redirect self-oriented behaviors. But the one option I don't have is to sit silent. If someone's going to take over and start stomping on my core values, silence is not an option. I've got to do something about it. It's going to make me feel uncomfortable, perhaps. It gets easier over time, but I'm going to address it. And I want to do that because I think, and I've heard this indirectly, teams respect a leader who takes a stand. And finally, we're all in this together when we're all behaving well and we stop the instant message machine gun and the email blizzards and all the other things that waste time, the team has an opportunity to move into the high-performing stage of team development. And for those of you that have been project managers for years, you know this to be true. Some teams make it there, and then they slip back down, and you'll have to pull them back up. But to be perfectly honest, very few teams make it to that high-performance humming stage. And I have my own hypothesis of why that might be, a whole nother call. But I do believe that at the core of it, there has to be a leader who sets standards and then holds people to those standards. And that's the only way. That's a prereq for getting into high performance. Okay, review of the objectives for this session. Let's see. Recognize soft skill deficiencies. You know, look in a mirror and just ask yourself, how much time am I spending developing the team that develops the thing or the project that I'm working on? Be able to express your core values. For example, a core value would be don't waste my time. You have it. Just write it down. Express it. Share it with your team. And then defend those core values with confidence. You don't have to negotiate with people over your core values. They're your core values. So stand up and defend them. And finally, influence positive behaviors. Right? Look for the positive behaviors. Look for it tomorrow. You'll find it. And then call it out. It can be a public thing, but it doesn't cost anything for you to just say two sentences to a person. You know, do it before the meeting, do it after the meeting, do it on a phone call, do it face-to-face. It doesn't matter, but do it. Call out positive behavior so other people know what it is, that they get a sense of what positive behaviors look like. Because some people, don't really know that some of the things that they're doing are negative. And finally, exercise your soft skills. So we had an hour to talk tonight. I wanted to finish 5 minutes early. I'll finish on this last slide on slide share 37. It says your next actions. Right? You'll find a whole ton of tips out on my website, projecteasy.com. A lot more tips and takeaways, tear sheets that you can use at work, and you're welcome to them. You'll also find my book, Project Rec, 12 Reasons That Projects Fail, and it has really two sections, hard skills, front section, but it has an equal number of pages, I think it's 200 and whatever it is, 80 pages, equal number of pages dedicated to soft skills, because that's my experience. My experience is it's the soft skills that really differentiate the sophisticated project manager. And when I say sophisticated, I mean that in a very positive way. Sophisticated that in their ability to get results and their ability to guide teams into that high-performance stage of team development. So, as I said, the book's loaded with chapters dedicated to that. And if you do download the book as part of it's an e-book download. You can buy the hard copy if you prefer turning pages. But if you buy the e-book, remember that there's a discount code, PM Lessons, one word, PM Lessons, and you'll get 33% off. Now, I'll also ask you to join the discussion on my blog. For example, out on my website, go to the blog, and this session is listed there. You'll be able to comment there, give me feedback on what went well, what could be improved for the next round. You know, this presentation or other presentations that I give. And I'd ask you also to follow along. There'll always be project management topics. So please share your ideas. On LinkedIn, you can meet me there as well. Stay in touch. Henry, back to you.
I was just going to tell you, I got 5 minutes off right now, John. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And people can get in contact with you, John, through your website?
Sure. They can.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, John. I really appreciate it. Again, John has shared with us some very valuable information, and I would suggest that you visit his website at projecteasy.com. That's P-R-O-J-E-C-T. EZ.com, and you can contact him through his website there. And again, just like he offered the book to us with the discount, use the PM Lessons code to get a 33% discount for the next 10 days from the time that we're having this conference call. So please look into that. Take advantage of that opportunity. Take advantage of John's offer for you to contact him and to contribute to his blog. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us this evening. This has been another PMLessonsLearn.com podcast. I encourage you all to join our group, our Yahoo group, through the link on our website so that you can get announcements of future calls. Thank you all. I'm going to stop the recording now. And as I always say, keep on learning.
That sure was a lot of helpful information, wasn't it? Please join us for a future conference call. We currently have several calls a month. Join our Yahoo group for more information about our calls and information to further your project management career. Membership is free. Details are at pmlessonslearn.com. We hope you'll continue to listen in to our podcasts and tell others about our podcasts and our group. pmlessonslearn.com. We're all about project managers helping project managers. And until next time, keep on learning.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project managers helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.